Proverbs 17:20, he that hath a froward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. First of all, these two go together. These are not describing two different types of people. This is everybody by nature. The scriptures are very clear on that. We are all born with a froward heart, which means habitually disposed to disobedience and opposition. Anybody who's had children can testify to this. We are born with a nature that is habitually disobedient and in opposition to that which is good. We have a heart problem by nature. Our nature is disobedient to God. Being disobedient to parents is to be disobedient to God, to God's established authority in the home. God establishes authority in this world. He establishes authority in the home. He establishes authority in his church. And we are disobedient by nature. Romans 8:7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Enmity. Hatred. Opposition. And here's the thing. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. The carnal mind, which is just who we are, the way we think by nature, is enmity against God. It is not subject, that is, it is not submissive to the law of God. And don't miss this last very important part. Neither indeed can be. People change. No, they don't. Not with regard to what matters. Neither indeed can be. Your old heart cannot obey God. The heart you're born with, by nature, a froward heart is always a froward heart. You are incapable of submitting to God by nature. And I want to remind us this morning why we use that phrase by nature a lot. And I want us to understand what we mean by it, to remember. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. By nature, we cannot submit to God. We cannot bow. We cannot. We have a habitually disobedient heart of opposition against God. And that explains our disobedience in every other way. We're not submissive to God's authority in any of its manifestations in this world. But primarily and most important, spiritually, we say in our heart, no God. Ephesians 2:3, among the wretched, vile, sinful people of the world, we all had our conversation, our conduct, we were with them. In times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. By nature, we are subject to God's wrath. Now, notwithstanding that we understand that all of God's sheep have always been God's sheep, God loves us with an everlasting love without beginning or end, his people, his elect. But by nature, it's describing us by nature, what we are when we come into this world. We are subject to God's wrath. So when we say by nature, we're talking about our condition as we're born into this world, dead in trespasses and sins, enmity against God, and can't be anything else. It's that simple. It's not that complicated. And as our text says, in that condition, as we are born and live in this world, we can't find any good. There used to be a bumper sticker that said, "I found it." Y'all might have seen that if you're old enough. "I found it." Well, I don't know what it is, but if it's something good, you didn't find it. Not without the grace of God, you didn't. The only good thing, think about what in this world is good. I'm talking about inherently is good in its nature, in its in everything. There's really is a short list, isn't it? You say, well, it's good, you know, to be blessed with the things of this world. Not to people that don't know God, it's not. It's just going to take them further from God. They're just going to be distracted by those things and think that's good when it's not good. What is good in this world? Well, you're going to be on shaky ground if you say anything but Christ. You think about that. You say anything in answer to that question but Christ, and you're on shaky ground. And this is the simple, clear message of our text. You're not going to find him. He's going to have to find you first. In our depraved condition in which we are born, we will never find God. We are, our Lord said in his word, as sheep going astray. Turn with me to I think it's 2 Peter. Let's see. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 24. No, it must be 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. What a wonderful condition to be in. We're dead, not in sins anymore, but to sins, and alive unto God, and we live unto righteousness. We were healed of our natural condition of not being able to find any good. We live unto righteousness now. We were healed of that how? By the stripes of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his victory on the cross. By the shedding of his precious blood for our sins. And look, for you were as sheep going astray. But are now returned. It doesn't say you returned. You are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. By nature, we can't find any good. We can't find the Lord. We can't find the Savior. If we could, we wouldn't. We can't stand him by nature. And we just can't. We were as sheep going astray. That says a lot about us, don't it? What is it? What is it about sheep going astray? Look at Luke chapter 15, verse 1. What is the thing about sheep when they've gone astray? Verse 1 of Luke 15, then drew near unto him, the Lord, all the publicans and sinners for to hear him, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured. The publicans and sinners drew near to hear him. But that's not why the Pharisees were there. What have you come here for this morning? What have I? They murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Now, why in the world would that shepherd go after that one sheep? Leave the others in the wilderness and go after that one sheep. Two simple reasons. He loves it. It's valuable to him. He's the shepherd. He's not a hireling, you see. He's the shepherd. And he wants that sheep back. What other reason? What's the second reason? Because he knows sheep. He's a shepherd. That's what he does. He knows sheep. And he knows that sheep's a goner. Unless he goes and gets it. That's how we're described by nature. We're not coming back. We're not going to find any good. What's that wandering sheep going to find out there? No good. He's not going to find any protection out there. He's not going to find any of that green pasture that was planted for him out there. No, he's not going to find any good out there. The shepherd goes after that lost sheep, and that's why. Because it's worth it to him. And because you're not ever going to come to Christ on your own. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Always remember when you hear that verse, it's an oft-quoted verse for this very good reason, to show that we're helpless by nature. A man with a froward heart's not going to find any good. But also this, where does the Father draw the sheep to? Me, Christ said, me. Not religion, me. And then the latter part of our text, perverse lips, they are the product of a froward heart. They go together, as we said. Having perverse lips, let me say this, is not a matter of just saying bad words, what we call cuss words. You might say that about somebody, you know, that's always just a trash mouth. You're not supposed to, you know. That's not what this is talking about, and it's important to understand that. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. Verse 15. Matthew 15:15. Then answered Peter and said unto the Lord, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth? They were talking about eating unclean things and becoming unclean because of what you eat. That was the Pharisees, one of their laws and that they adhered to. But it's not about that, the Lord said. Whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the drought. But those things which proceed out of the mouth, that's the problem. It's not what goes in your mouth that defiles you. This is a key basic gospel truth that this religious world does not know. We are not defiled by things. We are the defiled thing. That which comes out of your mouth, where'd that come from? That came from the heart. And that's where the defilement is. You see how that has to do with our text? They go together, a defiled heart and perverse lips. Now, what is it that comes out of the lips? Is it just, you know, swear words and things like that? Well, you know, that can be an indicator of somebody that's not a real savory character. It can be. But look at verse 19. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness. Here's the one that comes out of the mouth. Blasphemies. It's to say something false about God. That's the problem. People think that what defiles people is cussing and swearing and being in the wrong crowd. Nothing outside of you can defile you. Even, you know, you say, well, if you drink enough, you know, that'll defile. No, that's just going to make you spew out what's already in you. We might get a little bit better glimpse of how defiled you are if you put enough alcohol in your mouth, but that's not what defiled you. Blasphemies, false witness, lying about God and saying falsehoods, wrong things about God. That's our problem. That's what Satan did. That's the first thing. That's the first time sin entered into paradise, was a blasphemy. Well, we're out of time, but what solves all of this? You know what solves all of this? A new heart. A brand spanking new one. Your old one's not going to get any better. Your old one can't find any good. You're not ever going to find God as you are in this world. God's going to have to do something for you. That's why we don't preach to try to get sinners to do something for God. What are you going to do for God? You need God to do something for you. And so pray with me always to that end that God would do something for us. We never stop needing Him to do something for us. I need this morning for God to do something for me. God must give you a new heart, a new nature. The natural heart hates God. The new heart loves God. Peter, do you love me? Lovest thou me? Yea, Lord. You know all things. You know that I love you. Now, it wasn't Peter's love for the Lord that restored him, was it? Peter showed his true colors in denying the Lord. That's how great our love is. But bless God, we love Him, but because He first loved us. And it was the Lord's love for Simon that restored Simon. The old heart rebels against God. You know what the new heart does? You remember Saul of Tarsus? He went from persecuting the Lord in every way, every bit of authority he had, he used to persecute the Son of God. And the Lord Jesus confronted him about it, didn't he? Why persecutest thou me? If you persecute my people, you have a personal problem with me. But he went from that to what? Lord, what would you have me do? The new heart serves God. We read a while ago how that out of the old heart proceeds false witness and blasphemies. You know what comes out of the new heart? Confessing the Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And confession is made unto salvation. I was going to have you turn to Ezekiel 36:22. Let's do it. We'll run a little over, but not too bad. Ezekiel 36:22. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen, whither you went. What was coming out of their mouth? They profaned God, the people of God, in an earthly sense, profaned God among the heathen. Verse 23, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. Now this is spiritual language, of course. And you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. How are they going to be clean? How are they going to stop profaning God among the heathen? How is God going to be sanctified in them in such a way that the heathen, they don't hear us profaning God anymore. They hear us praising God and telling of his greatness. A new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony, the rebellious, the hard, stiff-necked heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'll give you a real heart. Not flesh in the sense of fleshly lusts, but a real heart. It's not a stone of rebellion against God. Verse 27, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my commandments and do them. A new heart. By nature, our heart is incapable of finding any good. And what comes out of our mouth evidences that we have found no good. But when God gives a new heart, something else comes out. Praise unto our God, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. Amen. Let's pray.